Hello and welcome to the Global Treasurer Live podcast. My name is Austin Clark and I'm the Managing Editor of the Global Treasurer. In this latest episode of our Treasury Live series, we're going to discuss why, in today's volatile business world, treasurers need to enhance liquidity, diversify counterparty risk, and maximise yield more than they ever have before. In short, it's time treasurers made their cash work harder. Joining me to discuss this topic in more detail is Bobby Jackson, Managing Director at FXD Capital, the company he founded in 2018 along with Chris Huddleston, having spent almost a decade working together at one of the UK's leading specialist banks. The team at FXD Capital uses a personal approach and experience in treasury, cash, cash equivalent instruments and liquidity management to bridge the gap between depositor and bank, offering clients access to a wide range of term deposits, notice accounts, and money market funds. So Bobby, welcome.
Hi, great to be here. Thanks, Austin.
So the first question today, and a great way to start the conversation, is to find out why you think enhanced access to cash and liquidity is an absolute must for organisations at the moment.
Yeah, I think the most obvious kind of reason that stands out is, you know, no treasurer wants their funds tied up in the event that they're going to need access to them for an acquisition or for an unforeseen event. So always having access to that liquidity at the right time is equally as important as preservation of capital in the first place.
And how do you think the economic situation at the moment, and that the volatility, the trade wars, President Trump, etc., is impacting on that?
Yeah, we've Chris and I were actually just speaking about this kind of earlier in the week, and last week was real kind of testament to quite a significant change that we've seen, certainly in the UK. But casting my mind back 2 months ago, you know, we had a very different outlook. Whilst monetary policy in the US with the Federal Reserve, you know, taking more of a patient stance, you know, we've had kind of strong data numbers out from the economy there. We've had, you know, just generally things pointing in the right direction. And whilst there's been, I suppose, in a very short space of time, quite a lot of change, and that including, you know, heightened trade wars, a general kind of focus around much more monetary easing. So in light of, you know, continued uncertainty with Brexit, we no longer are in this environment where the Bank of England were looking potentially to keep rates stable or even hike. We're actually much more in an environment now where they're following the consensus with the US and Europe, with actually looking at ways in which they can kind of potentially further stimulate the economy as a precaution to a slowdown in growth or ongoing uncertainty with, you know, the potential that on the 31st of October we leave the EU without a deal.
With that in mind, how do you think corporate treasurers can ensure they maximise the value of their assets?
Yeah, so I suppose taking into account the points you raised at the start, you know, liquidity, counterparty risk, and obviously, you know, in doing so, creating some sort of yield, treasurers can look to manage their cash in the most efficient way they can, and often is the case that they would just look at the banks that they have relationships with and have continued to use since being in their role or since, you know, the bank onboarded the company in the first place. What we've actually started to see is 10 years of ultra low interest rates coupled with more banks than ever looking to raise liabilities has created a really open playing field around new deposit taking banks in the UK. When we set up the business last year, there were around 345 banks all looking for deposits from businesses and large corporates. Many of those banks are banks that you typically wouldn't have heard of or you wouldn't consider because there might be an assumption that they wouldn't meet counterparty criteria. And we're seeing more and more treasury policies actually be a lot more tailored around thinking around credit rating, liquidity ratios, sovereigns, all of the various different factors that one would consider in a bank, and actually suddenly a whole host of other banks that depositors can consider that they wouldn't have done in the first place. And what we're looking to do is really just create as much awareness as possible of those banks to allow depositors to make a better informed decision on who to place with across what maturity.
From what you've said there, two questions spring to mind. And one is, do treasurers have an appetite to spread their risk and work with people that they kind of might not necessarily have heard of? And out of that, is there an issue around kind of sovereign ownership going forward?
Yeah, so I think there's a great degree of inertia. Often there is a case where does the effort warrant the benefit? And to my point earlier around, you know, ultra low interest rates, that they're up until now, there hasn't really been a great argument for that, outside of the fact that depositors generally look to diversify counterparty risk. Now what we're starting to see is a lot more interest in looking at banks that perhaps have a sovereign that they wouldn't have considered otherwise. So whilst being a UK bank in their own right, knowing that the sovereign is the Qatari Investment Authority or a big, highly rated country or institution, often does help with actually thinking about which banks to place with and why.
Interesting. So does that mean treasurers need to challenge the status quo?
Definitely. You know, I think every treasurer will have their own policy around counterparty criteria, around how far they place out and why. It's exactly the same for all of these banks. These banks have their own requirements to raise the right liabilities at the right price and with the right funding mix. So really, it's a case now where actually by joining the dots and marrying up a depositor with a bank, then actually we can ensure that both parties win. The bank gets the pricing that they want, you know, at essentially the right price, and the depositor gets their money placed with a counterparty that they deem appropriate in line with what they're looking to do in terms of their motivation for that. But in doing so, also achieve the yield that they want across the tenor that they want to deposit.
It sounds like that's quite a time-consuming activity. And is that way people like yourselves really come into play?
Yeah, you know, time and time again, we're speaking to businesses that have actually never heard of a money broker. They're unfamiliar with the model. They, for whatever reason, haven't used one in the past, and that's often because there haven't really been many. So I think there's definitely, you know, really encouraging signs, particularly with the growth of our business, around treasurers, finance directors, CFOs, adopting a much more proactive approach to their cash. Cash management is often deemed one of those areas that's on the long list of things to do, and cash flows and budgeting and reporting obviously take, you know, a priority in some regards. So, you know, for us to be able to have these meaningful relationships and do a lot of that legwork for our clients just creates an enormous amount of value for them to actually come away and think about, you know, what the solutions are, to make an informed decision and then actually go and action something, knowing there's tangible value add in doing so.
Yeah, interesting. Do you think that there's a case here that treasurers want to become more strategic and take their treasury role to kind of board level? Does this allow them to do that? Is it a step in the right direction?
I think it is. You know, it's certainly nothing but helpful to a treasurer. I would say there's probably still an argument out there whereby, you know, the treasurer, you know, probably gets a pat on the back for creating a bit of extra interest, but, you know, for not having access to the funds for when they need it, or, you know, placing in a counterparty that's not perhaps deemed credible, then, you know, they're going to be fired. So I suppose for us, it's a huge educational piece. What we want to do is just, you know, be able to fact find and tailor all of the relevant opportunities to the treasurer so that they can make an informed decision. And often that informed decision is in the same room as a board member or various other management teams to kind of come to that conclusion together. But without knowing the facts and without knowing, you know, all the accompanying information that go with that, then it's very difficult to ever make a decision on something that, you know, would usually take an enormous amount of time to actually kind of collate that information in the first place.
Given what you've said there, what options are available to organisations when it comes to enhancing returns?
Yeah, so you touched on it earlier. There's you know, primarily three products available for our clients and for any depositor for that matter, and that's term deposits, notice accounts and money market funds. Now, if we just think specifically around the term deposits, we've obviously got the, you know, notice products, which are often linked as a variable rate product, and the fixed term deposits to, you know, agree a fixed rate of interest for a period of time. And what we're seeing in line with, you know, the factors that are going on in the kind of wider market in terms of potential rate cuts, uncertainty around kind of monetary easing, then fixed term deposits are obviously a fantastic product for any treasurer to consider, in the way that they can obviously lock in yield regardless of what would happen. Now, that's all very well and good, and you know, any treasurer will be familiar with those products. The benefit of a notice product is actually also on the bank side, and in line with the bank looking at the right funding type and the right mix. You know, notice products do carry an enormous amount of value both for the bank and the depositor, and the reason for that is for the behavior of the money. You know, we see a huge disparity in notice products and fixed term deposits, but you know, for a lot of these depositors who don't necessarily want to tie up their funds for a long period of time and they want the added flexibility of partial withdrawals or adding additional balances at a later date, then they serve a great, you know, solution for any depositor to be able to just get the benefit of a particularly good rate with the liquidity benefits of a shorter dated deposit. And actually in the event that interest rates were to go up, obviously receive that benefit as well. So there's a couple of deposit products that, you know, any depositor would consider, and we see more and more popularity in the notice products. But in that shift in the last, you know, couple of months where we've seen much more focus around rate cuts, you know, there is obviously now a bigger question to ask, and that's, you know, who wants to be locking in higher rates of interest for longer? And in doing so, a fixed term deposit would meet a depositor's need in that regard.
What sort of range of kind of percentages do you see across all of the banks that are looking for the deposits?
Yeah, it's broad. I suppose for any bank, you know, to raise liabilities, you know, at the right price, then, you know, that's one thing. But to be able to raise liabilities in a competitive market with more banks than ever, it's another. And, you know, whilst banks generally don't like to broadcast the rates through a rate sheet, you know, the disparity is big. Certainly in the UK, you know, whether it be a notice product, we see anything from 80 basis points up to 150 for the same product. With the same banks in terms of deemed kind of credit rating. Certainly on placing US dollars, the market is actually much broader. And the reason for that is the numerous rate hikes we've seen since 2017. So often the rate hasn't necessarily been passed on to the depositor, and that would be because there might be a lack of kind of competitiveness in terms of you know, the bank perhaps having that captive audience, and in doing so, in introducing an element of competition and creating awareness of what's out there in the market, that, you know, that disparity in rates becomes a lot more obvious, and that leads to the question, why wouldn't you want to earn more interest on your cash?
Do you think corporate treasurers understand this? Do they get it?
I think they absolutely do. I think probably the reason why there's been less focus on it in the past is the ultra low rates environment that we've been in. That said, you know, we always lead on preservation of capital. Liquidity is equally as important. The yield is the kind of icing on the cake. And many treasurers will have a robust treasury policy that sees them diversify counterparty risk, and various other different kind of standardized measures to manage the business in the most robust way. So actually what we've started to see is, whilst treasurers have always looked to diversify, you know, perhaps there has been a little bit of you know, a kind of a stagnant rates market that hasn't created a lot of action to think about yield, and in doing so now, there's a, you know, a much greater opportunity to actually see a considerable interest income being generated from doing that exact process.
For any organisation looking to generate income, what tips would you give them?
I guess it depends on the size of the business. If it's a mature business with a robust treasury policy, it's constant awareness of what rates are available over the typical kind of duration that you would deposit, because without knowing what comparable banks are paying, you'll never ever truly have a good indication as to what's a fair price. And you know, the stance we always take with a lot of our clients, and it's much bigger in Europe, but the stance we take is you're lending your money to the bank, so why wouldn't you want to earn extra interest income if you're not compromising on credit quality? And there is an assumption that, you know, you should get a better rate if the credit quality is worse, and that's absolutely right. But actually, at the same time, you know, you can get many highly rated banks out there that are paying much more competitive rates than perhaps people are used to. And you know, our job is to create and that awareness with banks that we deem, you know, interesting counterparties that anyone could consider because of their appetite for cash and all of the kind of financials that go with it. But I think it's also it's a mindset shift. It's once you're aware of the facts, it's much easier to kind of come to a conclusion, and not knowing at all often doesn't mean you even lead to kind of asking the question.
So final question, really, and it might be an impossible one to answer given the volatility and Brexit and the unknowns that we're having to deal with at the moment. But how do you see this whole area developing over the coming months and years?
So there's obviously been a lot of tech in that space already. You know, there's a lot of portals that distribute money market funds. There's a lot of incumbent banks that, you know, have a very similar process to probably what they had 10 years ago. There's a big rise in challenger banks and a rise in branches and subsidiaries of overseas banks. And these are banks that are UK banks in their own entirety. I touched on it earlier. They just might have a sovereign that isn't, you know, the UK. And actually, considering these banks, you know, should be should be an obvious choice, because having a pragmatic approach to managing risk and looking at, you know, the broader market in terms of deposit taking banks leads to a much more informed decision as to how best to manage the cash. In answer to your question, I suppose, and where I think the market will go, I think there's always going to be a need for a voice broker such as FXD. You know, without understanding our clients' requirements, cash flow needs, counterparty criteria, it's very difficult to actually put together a solution. And that solution needs to be bespoke, because it's often tailored to the end client's specific needs, but it's with pricing that's derived from a bank and or numerous banks. And what we want to do is marry the two up as closely as possible, and that's the human touch. I think there'll always be that human element, but I think there'll also be that high-tech element to it too. And we're looking at some really interesting ways in which how we can deliver on that. But I think if we look at kind of the foreseeable future, you know, why wouldn't you want someone picking up the phone and telling you about kind of what's going in the market? And I suppose, you know, someone to be that extra pair of eyes and ears.
Indeed, that all makes sense. Thank you very much for your time today, Bobby. That's been really interesting, and plenty of food for thought.
Brilliant. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you.